Friday evening, we had our Thai fest and had Thai tea, and then we enjoyed the dinner at the Thai restaurant. And so this has been a great week of emphasis on Thailand. And our theme for Missions Conference this year is Awaken to Kingdom Reality. And we are looking at Matthew chapter 24. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. We will look at verse 14 as the main verse, but I would encourage you to keep your Bible open, or I know from Sunday school, a number of you have your Bible on your phone or keep your Bible app open. And we'll be looking at Matthew 24 and 25. Let's pray before we read God's word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed that Jesus is our King, that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is God Almighty. And Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege of proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, we desire that we would be people who are awake to what you are doing in the world. And then we want to be involved in advancing your kingdom around the world. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us by your word, that we would respond in obedience, and Lord, that we would be engaged in seeing your kingdom move forward around the world. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you, and we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Wake up! Wake up, because Jesus, our King, is coming back. We don't know when, but Jesus told us the condition that needs to happen. That this gospel, his gospel of the kingdom, will be preached to all the nations, all the ethnic groups of the world, and then he will come back. God wants us to be engaged in proclaiming this good news to hasten the return of our King. I grew up in Williamsport, PA, and God used a short-term missions trip when I went to Nyack College to awaken me to kingdom reality. Growing up here in Pennsylvania, I had heard often, well, if someone has their own religion, you shouldn't bother them. You know, if they're religious, well, then that is good enough. And when we've gone to Thailand, we hear that same kind of thinking from the Thai people. When I share with them that I'm a Christian and that I'm sharing the wonderful good news of Jesus with the Thai people, well, they will say, you know, all religions are good because all religions teach us to be good people. And what they're saying is, well, I'm Buddhist and you're a Christian, so we're good. But when I went on a short-term missions trip to West Africa while I was a student there at Nyack College, God showed me, awakened me to the fact that being religious was not good enough. During that missions trip, the missionary took us to a Muslim mosque. And on Friday at noon, we watched hundreds of African men and women bowing down on their prayer mats with their heads facing towards Mecca, very fervently praying to Allah. And as I watched that, God impressed upon my heart, religious but lost. Religious but lost. They were very religious, very fervent, but they were lost in their sin. Just having religion does not get us to heaven. And God impressed upon my heart that we must proclaim the good news of Jesus, the Savior of the world, to all people, African, Thai, wherever we go, to tell them about Jesus. God wants us to awaken to kingdom reality in three ways. God wants us to awaken, first of all, by always being ready, living in love with our Savior, and anticipating his return. God wants us to always be investing and then always be serving. First of all, always be ready, living in love with our Savior, and anticipating his return. Verse 12 here in Matthew chapter 24 warns us of a danger that would stifle our love. Verse 12 says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. When we watch the news, read the news, check the news on the internet, we just see the increase of wickedness. And our hearts can get numb to that. But God needs us to keep our love for Jesus fresh. And this morning in Sunday school, we shared together in our small groups how we have our devotions. And there was great ideas shared. And hopefully we're all encouraged, but it is so important that we as believers have that daily time with Jesus, reading his word, praying, worshiping him, so that our love for Jesus stays fresh and vibrant. And then when we look at the world, we see the world through his love. And we see the world knowing that they too need to know his love. So God wants us to always be ready because we are in love with our Savior. Down in verse 42 to 44, here in Matthew chapter 25, we have the story of the thief in the night. And why does the house owner be ready when a thief might come? Now, when I think of the house owner, I think of the husband. I think of the dad. We, as fathers and husbands, we want our family to be safe. We don't want our family and our house to be victimized with a thief. And so, because we love our family, we want to always be ready. Sue and I were once a victim of a thief in the night, and I was not ready. Sue and I were new missionaries in Thailand. Our daughter, Laura, was just 2 years old at the time. On Saturday evening, we had gone to our friend's birthday party. And you know what happens when you go to a birthday party. You have all that cake and ice cream and the goodies, and you have that sugar high, and then you have that sugar low. Saturday night, we slept soundly. We didn't hear a thing. I woke up, went downstairs to the bathroom to shave, and the window was broken open. I went out to the front door of our house, and in Thailand, we take off all of our shoes and leave them at the door. All of my shoes were gone. All I had was a pair of flip-flops left. I realized what had happened. I rushed upstairs and said to Sue, "We've been robbed. Laura!" So her first concern was for our daughter. We rushed to our daughter's room. When we opened the door, we both breathed a sigh of relief because the little girl who we loved so much was so sound asleep in her bed. We could replace the broken window. We could replace my shoes and the other things that were stolen. But you all know that you can't replace your daughter. Because we love him and we love the people who he loves, we will always be ready. In Matthew chapter 24, on down in verses 45 to 51, we have the story of the faithful and wise servant. Now, the master goes on a journey for a long time, and he doesn't know when he's going to be back. And he puts the head servant in charge. And why does that servant do his job? He doesn't know when the master is going to come back, but he feeds his fellow servants, makes sure everyone has their food, makes sure the household is running in order. Why does he do his job? I believe he does his job because he loves his master and he loves his fellow servants. But the wicked servant doesn't care and doesn't do his job. God wants us to love people even when they are messed up in their sin. God wants us to love people even when they are coming out of the mess of that sin and they're a new believer. I saw this kind of love in Lek. Lek loved Sunan, even though the first time he met Sunan, he smelled like a drunk. And not only that, is Lek shared his own testimony with Sunan. He said, "Sunan, before I met Jesus 10 years ago, I was worse than you. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict, addicted to cigarettes. I was a violent, angry man. In fact, I had committed murder and been in prison for that. If God can save me, he can save you." And that testimony, shared in love, encouraged Sunan that God could even save him. And then Lek demonstrated his love because Sunan and his relatives lived 45 minutes away out in the middle of a coconut orchard. Once a month, Lek would drive out and pick them up, 45 minutes out, 45 minutes back. The next Sunday, Sunan was on the back of Lek's pickup truck. And there in church, it was Communion Sunday, and our Thai pastor shared the meaning of communion, that Jesus died on the cross, his body was broken for us, because we are broken and messed up with sin, and then that Jesus' blood was shed to cleanse us of our sin, to forgive us, and when we trust in him, we become a new person in Christ, and we're set free. Sunan was there in church sitting next to me. He was sober and he was listening to every word. At the end of the service, I asked Sunan, I said, "Would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior?" And he said, "Yes. And I want to be set free of alcohol too." And you've heard some of the rest of the story, those of you who were at the men's breakfast and in Sunday school this morning, that God freed him from 40 years of alcohol, and he's a new man in Christ. But Lek loved him. He was always ready to share the love of Jesus. Down in Matthew chapter 25, we have another parable about being ready. It's the parable there in 25 verses 1 to 13 of the 10 virgins. We have 5 virgins who are wise and have their oil. 5 virgins are foolish and have no oil. Now, the Bible doesn't say why those 5 virgins had their oil. But when I read the Bible, I like to try to read between the lines and think, well, why did they have their oil? Okay, the virgins were the friend of the bride. And so they're waiting with the bride for when the groom will come. The groom didn't say what time he's going to come. So why do those 5 wise virgins have their oil? I believe they have the oil because they don't want to miss this very important day. They don't want to miss this day for the persons they love, the bride and the bridegroom. We as Christians love Jesus, who is the groom, the head of the church. We love his people, the bride. And so we will always be ready because we love him and we love his church. There in verse 13 it says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Second of all, we want to awaken to kingdom reality by always be investing. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, we have the parable of the talents. And when you read that, the question is how are you investing everything that God has given you? How are you investing the money, the actual talents, gifts, and abilities that God has given you? Now, when we read this Bible passage, a talent in biblical days was not some special skill or ability that you have, but it actually was money. So I looked up the Greek word for talent. The New Testament was originally written in the Greek language. And in my Greek New Testament dictionary, it said a talent is a Greek coin worth 5,000 to 6,000 denarii. A denarii is a coin, and one denarius was equal to one day's work. So we're talking a value of 5,000 to 6,000 days of work. We're talking, if you work 5 days a week, 19 to 23 years of work. Now let's put it to Pennsylvania terms. Here in Pennsylvania, minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. And you multiply that by 19 to 23 years of work. That would come to between $286,000 upwards to $346,000. Other Bible scholars say a talent was actually 60 pounds of gold or silver. Now you think of what is gold worth per ounce? What is silver worth an ounce? Either way, how you say the value of a talent is, the point is a talent is a huge amount of money. And God wants us to understand that God has entrusted with us a huge amount. So what are you doing with all that God has given you, your resources, your time, your gifts and abilities for him? In the parable, the servants who received 5 talents and received 2 talents, they took that talent of money and they used their business talents and they doubled it. And when the master was returned, they were commended and rewarded by their master. But the servant who received 1 talent hid it in the ground. And when the master returned, he was judged because he was lazy and he was wicked. All of us want to be a good and faithful servant. God wants us to invest what he has given us in 3 ways. First of all, he wants us to invest our time in prayer. None is an example of someone who has investing for God's kingdom. She's investing her time in prayer. Nun was the very first person who was a new believer in our town of Bonpale when we went there to plant a new church. And when she came to know the good news of Jesus, her first concern was that her family would come to know Jesus. And she has invested her time in prayer for them. In Sunday school, I shared with you that her father, Ngam, at the age of 77, came to know Jesus. She's praying for her three sons. Her youngest son, Frame, while he was in prison, came to trust in Jesus and answered a mom's prayers, and because she had written him numerous letters sharing about Jesus. She's praying for her older son, Benz. Benz has been to church numerous times, but he's not yet trusting in Christ. Her middle son, Bond's never actually been to church, but he knows mom is praying because numerous times he's given thanks because God has protected him or God has provided for him because mom is praying. And she is praying that her entire family one day will come to trust in Christ as her Savior. She's also using her resources for God's kingdom. Nun has a small beauty shop. And when we told Nun that we wanted to start a church in Bonpale, and we were going to begin with having a Wednesday night cell group, she said, have the cell group right here in my beauty shop. My beauty shop is right downtown in the business district. In the evening, there's lots of parking. Everybody knows where my shop is. Have the cell group right here. So every Wednesday night, for more than a year, she opened up her beauty shop. And then the children peeked through the door when we were meeting with the adults. And Sue said to Nun, can we have children's Bible club here with the kids? And she said, yes. So every Saturday morning, she opened up her shop while she was cutting hair. And Sue taught the kids. But then her neighbors noticed, you're opening up your shop a lot for those Christian activities. How much are those foreigners paying you? You know, nobody would open up their shop that much and they wouldn't get rent. How much are they paying you? Nothing, was Nun's response. She said, I do it because I love God and I want you to also have an opportunity to know the love of God. Then every Wednesday night, Nun would make a light meal for us to eat after our cell group. It might be fried rice, it might be fried noodles. And the neighbors noticed that she was cooking this food. And they asked, how much are the foreigners paying you? Nothing. I do it because I want to. She is using her resources to advance God's kingdom. She's also using what we would actually call her talents, her skill as a hairdresser. When you have a customer in your chair, what a great opportunity to engage in conversation. When they come into her shop, they now notice that there's no idols on her wall anymore. In fact, now there's Bible verses instead on her wall. On her literature table, she has gospel tracts and a Thai Bible. On the front of her shop, there's a cross. We have people in our church today in Bonpale, the very first time they heard about Jesus was there in her shop. She is using her talents, her skills for the Lord. God wants us to do the same, to use our time in prayer. And I want to say thank you so much for praying for us and other missionaries who are sharing the good news of Jesus. We've been here before. Some of you have been praying for us over the years. Thank you so much for praying. The stories of people that you're hearing about and God has changed their life is answer to prayer. Thank you for praying. On our Thailand display table there in the foyer, there's one thing we want you to take. Please take our prayer card. And there it gives you the information of how you can get our prayer update. Sue and I send out our prayer update through the Eastern PA Missions website, which is called cmastories.com. And each month, Sue writes our prayer update. I just help edit it. But also there's pictures and videos. And then what's neat about it is you can go back history of about 2 years and read our previous prayer letters. And so I would encourage you, take a prayer card and then go to cmastories.com, click subscribe. They'll ask for your name and your email. You'll get an email to say, okay, you signed up. You said you wanted CMA Stories. You have to respond and confirm, yes, it was really me. And so then each month, it actually comes out on the 7th of the month. You can get our prayer update. You can go there now. It just came out this past week and get our prayer update. And then read previous months. So please take a prayer card. And I encourage you to sign up to get our prayer update. Also, I want to thank you for investing your money in God's kingdom. In the Christian and Missionary Alliance, we support our missionaries through the Great Commission Fund. Thank you so much for giving, because that provides the finances that we need to go as missionaries to Thailand. It helps us in very practical ways. Provides a monthly living allowance, pays for the rent for our house, provides medical insurance, a little bit of savings towards retirement. It provides for our ministry expenses in Thailand. It might be driving to a Bible study or buying gospel tracts or a Thai New Testament. It pays for our plane ticket. On June the 25th, we will fly out of Harrisburg all the way back to Bangkok. That is paid for through your giving to the Great Commission Fund. Thank you so much for giving. But not only for us, but more than 700 of our missionary colleagues who serve the Lord here in America and around the world. Now, so I encourage you, in your pew, on the offering envelope, designate for the Great Commission Fund. You can also give online on the Alliance website. Now, some people like to have that personal connection when they give for the missionary. You can actually go to the Alliance website, and then you can designate for the support of Ed and Sue Daneker. We will get a notice of your gift, and I will be sure to give you a thank you and let you know a current update of what God is doing. So thank you for giving. Another way of investing in God's kingdom is going on a short-term missions trip. And I've had an opportunity to talk to some of you where you've gone to Guatemala or the Dominican Republic on a short-term missions trip. We have been blessed to have teams from here in Pennsylvania come and join us in Thailand. When a short-term team comes, that additional manpower enables us to do things we normally would not do. We go on prayer walks. We pass out gospel tracts. We do visitation with people in their homes who are interested in the Lord or visiting, encouraging Thai believers. we give them an opportunity to help with the children on Saturday morning. If you're gifted in teaching or preaching God's word, to share God's word. If you have musical skills, help with our church worship team or provide special music. And then something that all of you have a skill in is your native English speakers. And in Thailand, we can go to public schools and actually talk about religion. We tell the school, we're from the church right here in the community. We have this group of Americans, and we're willing to teach a free English camp at the school. And can we also tell the students about Jesus because we're from the church here? Well, many times I get the school principal or a teacher say, the common philosophy of Thai people about religion, well, all religions are good because our religions teach us to be good people. Even though I'm Buddhist and most of the students here are Buddhists, we want them to know about Christianity too. And what a great opportunity to share with them the good news of Jesus. So that just opens up many doors for us when we have a short-term missions trip. So I encourage you to use your skills to go on a short-term missions trip. The third thing that God wants us to do to be awakened to kingdom reality is always be serving. In Matthew chapter 25, we have farther down the parable of the sheep and the goats, starting there at verse 31. In that parable, Jesus commended those who are the sheep because they loved the least of these. Jesus wants us to be always serving in love, loving even the least of these. And in the parable, they share and love in very practical ways. And God wants us to serve not out of duty, but coming from a genuine love. At the church that we helped to start in Bonpale, we did not yet have a Thai pastor. But I had heard at Bangkok Bible Seminary, which is just about 30 miles from us, every student there is required to do weekend ministry in a local church. So I contacted the seminary, and I said, is there a student who could come and help our church on the weekends? My prayer was that God would send us a student who was not just doing an assignment, but that this student in the future might be our Thai pastor, and that this student would really want to serve. God sent us Sitichai. Sitichai came to us as a stranger. He had only met Sue and I before, but that very first Sunday he was in our church. He went around with a yellow Post-it sticky notes. He asked everybody's name in our church of about 30 people, wrote everybody's name down, and then a brief description so that he could remember. The next Sunday, he remembered. He knew everybody's name. That second Sunday, he was our angel from heaven, because that Sunday, we were celebrating as a church that we were the very first church in the whole district of Bonpale that was preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. We were having our official church opening. And so as that weekend approached, Sue and I were just caught up in all of the details, feeling a little bit stressed about all of that. Sitichai came on Friday afternoon. And his first question was, what can I do to help? And so he was there when we set up the tent out in front of our church in the street because we were going to have, we were anticipating a large crowd. He helped us set up tables, set up the chairs and the place settings. And then on Sunday, he was doing that behind the scenes stuff that we need so much, helping with the sound, helping with the audio visual. And so we had a full day of worship and celebration. In the morning, our mother church joined us for special worship. In the afternoon, we had our building, our little storefront building, packed with 100 people as we celebrated our official church opening. So at the end of this day of all this worship and celebration, it's like 6 o'clock. We're done. We're cleaning up. We're putting things away. And Siti Chai comes to me and he says, "What else?" We weren't quite done. I looked at my watch and I said, "Siti Chai, it's 6 o'clock. You know, the last van going back to Bangkok is leaving soon. If you don't get on that van, you're going to be walking. We're talking walking 30 miles. But he said, "No, no, no, you're not done. Let me finish." We all had to insist to Siti Chai, "Go, get on that van. You're going to miss it. It's the last van." He wanted to serve. Siti Chai came to our church as a stranger. He's from the mountains of the north, more than 500 miles away. But he loves our people, and our people love him. And he especially loves the kids. We now have our children's Bible club at the church on Saturday morning. And those of you who've worked with kids, you know what happens after you're done, you got to clean up. And so Saturday afternoon, he's cleaning up the church, sweeping the floor, etc. And the kids live right in the community. And so they just pop in. Well, he lets them help, hands them a broom, hands them a mop, etc. But then numerous times I have seen him feed the children a free supper, and that food comes from his own money. He is serving them genuinely in love. Not only is he serving, but he's serving with vision. There was one time he was walking to the he went to the fresh food market to buy some food and other things. When he was coming back from the market, walking to church, God gave him this vision of the tremendous spiritual darkness in Ban Pao. We are the only church for more than 90,000 people who are proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And then God gave him the idea that people who have homes in our church to open up their homes for small group Bible studies. And this way they can reach out to their neighbors and their friends and their relatives. And I praise God that because of his vision, we have 5 families who are now opening up their homes in the church. He is serving with love and serving with vision. God wants us to awaken to the fact that Jesus, our King, is coming back. We all need to be involved to hasten the King's return, because when the world, all the ethnic groups, hear the good news of his kingdom, our King will return. He wants us to always be ready. He wants us to always be investing. And he wants us to always be serving in love. I particularly encourage you to always be investing your life for Jesus. All that he has given you, all of your skills for him. And I encourage you with the attitude of hands held open wide, saying to Jesus, "You've given me everything. The very life and breath that I have is from you. You've given me my time. You've given me the money that I have and the things that I have. You've given me the skills that I have and the wisdom and the health I have. All that I have is because of your love and your grace. So God, I give you my life. It's yours. I will invest my life for your kingdom. So I encourage you, in light of the fact that Jesus our King is coming back very soon, and because we love him, to invest your life for him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is coming back soon. We don't know when, but when the nations of the world have heard, our King will return. So Lord, help us to always be ready, living in love with you, anticipating your return. Help us to always be investing and always serving, but most of all, God, help us to invest this life that you have given us and all that you have given us for you and your kingdom. Oh, dear Jesus, we love you. And so may we truly serve you because we love you. We pray in Jesus' precious name.